Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. Today we're playing with a little less cards than a full deck, but we managed to mitigate the damage a bit. Black and pink casters went off for their own romantic subplot somewhere.
Yes.
So
was it with each other?
Yes. That was the implication.
That was the joke.
Yes, it's going to score us so many points in the LGBT.
I know, right? We're being progressive as all fuck.
Yay. Even though it's not true.
Progressive Ranger.
It may not be true, but hey, at the very least, we're trying.
And in the end, isn't that the real truth? No, yes. It's not.
No, it's not. Mountains can't be friends. So, tonight, it's myself, Redcaster, Greencaster, and our friend Northcaster.
What's up, boys and girls?
Yes, indeed.
Cue the roll call!
We're live! Watching all the anime, Redcaster, Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster, Ichida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material, Greencaster, Zenshi!
Trauma Inducer, Northcaster, Cell Saga!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
Alright, we now proper start episode 39 of Sentai Cast Ranger.
Oh boy.
38.
Are we?
It is 38.
Wow, 38. Wow, 38 episodes. We're still doing this.
Yes.
And it's great.
Hey, Lane. Pinkcaster's not here. I gotta say it.
Yeah. I hope everyone listening had a Merry Christmas / other holidays.
Happy Hanukkah, Kwesi Kwanzaa, Tip Top Tet, and a solemn, dignified Ramadan.
There you go.
That is a thing.
Yes.
I think we said that last week.
Also, a Festivus for the rest of us, for all you Seinfeld fucks out there, I guess.
Or World of Warcraft. I call them Seinfucks.
And World of Warcraft, too, because apparently they're doing it.
Nice. But I hope everyone had
so
a night.
Wait.
They're owned by Activision.
All this Sentai shit aside, does that mean that in order to play WoW, I need to celebrate Festivus like a fucking schmuck?
Yes.
I am retiring from WoW.
Which you did a long time ago.
I'm doing it again. I was considering coming back, but I'm not gonna now.
I will buy a time card, log in, and then quit.
Not play.
And then those Blizzard fucks will get the point. I'll get the point across to them. I will.
And my money.
But to everyone, I hope you had a nice holiday. I know I did. It was very nice. Although here in the Great White North, you know, my north was pretty fucking green.
Yeah, I know, right?
And brown.
It's pretty warm up here.
Which I'm okay with.
No, it's pretty warm up here, which is apparently pretty cold in Vancouver.
Fucking Pacifics.
as I hear it.
Lousy Pacifics.
Goddamn Mother Nature's being a counterculture agitator with her fucking denying us of our cold Canadian weathers.
Once again, totally okay with this.
Not okay. It's Canadian culture. I won't stand for it.
Speaking of the big freeze, Kamen Rider Drive.
Oh, God.
Just real quick, last thing about the holidays. If anyone got any cool tokusatsu-related stuff, let us know. Tweet at us, at XC Studios, or you can respond to this wherever you happen to find the episode.
I got socks, pants, and towels.
If you do, we might talk about it on the show.
Tokusatsu.
If we see anything cool, we'll talk about it on the show quickly. Just Yay. Say, hey, look, this guy got.
Tuck your long johns into those socks. You look like a Power Ranger.
Yeah, long johns. Sock, I totally own those.
Sockcaster.
Because we all needed to know that.
Yes, that I'm wearing the most conservative of underwear.
You, of all people.
Yeah. I know, right? Normally I go commando.
Oh, thanks.
You heard it here first, folks.
Danglecaster.
Danglecaster.
Dingles.
More like, oh god, I can't bend my knee, Caster.
Just outlines everywhere.
Alright. Today we're talking about Drive Episode 11, Tokyuger Episode 41, as well as the Drive Terabikun Special.
Which was so
good. It was a tie-in. We'll get to that. Shut up!
And then, of course,
the Power Rangers Super Mega Force Legendary War episode.
The season finale.
The finale. The thing that we're building up to forever.
We'll get to it. Man, was it not what we were hoping for?
We will get to it.
Stab me in the dick, stab me in the dick. Stab me in the dick, stab me in the dick. I don't want to watch Super Megaforce anymore.
Low, please, like you were watching it in the first place.
I totally was. I was riffing the shit out of it.
Only for the one episode. You don't need to watch it beyond that.
Oh, fine. I was talking about the one episode. I'm not talking about actual Super Megaforce. If I had to watch Super Megaforce, I'd probably kill myself.
Yeah, you might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Do yourself a favor. Go watch Gokaiger instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, we'll talk more about that when we get to it. All we need is drive. Okay, Drive, episode 11. First off, holy hell.
Really weird sound effect.
Yeah, shut up. First off, holy hell, the movie previews they've been doing this week's was amazing.
Giant bat in space.
Yeah, the bat viral core, they fight in space for some fucking reason.
Because
they're going to Coda's planet.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah. That's
because it. Coda's planet needs them.
Because we want to see some space bats, dang it.
Everybody's got a planet that needs them. Everywhere.
Yep.
My planet needs me.
That's become a real thing lately. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
In everything.
Yeah.
I must go. My planet needs me.
Bye, Poochie.
Bye, Optimus Prime.
So the episode kicks off with Hart almost about to fucking self-destruct. Chase jumps in and saves him, which was a little weird to see, but I guess it's like, yeah, I promised I'd stop you from entering the dead zone. Is the dead zone some thing where they get overheated and explode? I don't know. We don't know yet.
We don't know. But would you say it's dangerous?
It is pretty high voltage.
Would you say it was directed by David Cronenberg and starring Christopher Walken and written by Stephen King?
Hart does look like something out of a Cronenberg film.
He does.
Yes.
look, guys, it's Cronenberg Kamen Rider.
It's Cronenberg Hart.
It's Cronen Rider.
So it's gonna have like its head splitting open with like crazy insect feelers,
and it's played by Jeff Goldblum. Henshin,
and Robert Pattinson is off to the side, just like.
I saw Cosmopolis as well. So.
Hart almost explodes, Chase saves him, and for a while, for a second, it looks like Drive exploded.
All is lost.
11 episodes in, new record. But we find out real quick that he did survive, and the whole wreckage of the armor was all a trick from the new shift cars, because toys, Deco Traveler, which has the power to yank him, I guess.
More like it warped him the fuck out of
there. It didn't warp him. A chain wrapped around him
And then he just poofed.
It was like a... Okay. It was like
Did you not notice the suddenly he just phased out of existence in that shot?
I watched the episode 3 times and did not notice
it was like Harlem act. Like it a guy tied, just got the...
It tied a chain around him and then yanked him. And then he just kind of poofed out of existence.
Yeah, like a Harlem act. Just with a big Hulk just pulls him off. Have you ever noticed? Just pull him off. Get him out of there.
What do you and love? You love me. And then Road Winter drives by and quenches fire with ice because...
That's technically possible.
Okay.
And what was the third one?
It was the greatest, Colorful Commercial.
The greatest name ever.
Colorful Commercial.
That sounds like the gay pride Jaeger from Pacific Rim.
The power of holograms. I kind of want Deco Traveler and Colorful Commercial. Those are pretty cool.
They were neat.
The Colorful Commercial has an ad for the Tridron the actual car. It's pretty cool.
Because products.
It's commercial.
Yep. So you see Kiriko crying and he's like, you smiled. You almost died, fuckface! Is that what you want to focus on?
Ha, I got you to smile. Do I need to get shot next time to make you laugh?
He's being endearing and cute.
By almost dying.
Oh, yeah? Come on.
She's high maintenance.
Hey, man. And nothing gets the fields irrigated, like, you know, near death.
The fields irrigated?
Yeah.
Just reminds me of those, like, bastard kids who only laugh when someone gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then she... speaking of fields irrigated, she booked him a dinner.
She gives. Yes. So yeah, so Kiriko gives Shomari some motivation to solve the case. Here, I made us dinner reservations.
If we survive past this apocalyptic thing that's about to happen, we can go on a date.
And there may be a chance I'll sit on your dick. That's your motivation.
We can't have dinner if there's no electricity, so you better fucking find a dude and solve the case.
High maintenance bitch.
Yeah, I know, right?
And that's the
point. I have to almost die to get you to smile, and I have to solve a case that would have threatened millions of lives to go on a date with you?
Hey, man.
Christ, what must third base require?
Hey, man. Maybe she's worth
it. You must save the world.
Maybe she's worth it.
Maybe
she's the best bang since the big one. I don't know.
It's all possible. Yeah. What, and like she knows it too?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. She was born with this otherworldly gift of being really, 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 really good at sex.
So she's born with the golden vagina and just like she knows it, so she's like, I can use this to my advantage.
I hope Tom
is listening. I am a strong, independent woman, damn it.
No, it's more of a thing to be awarded to deserving individuals. Like, you know, the apple of Athena or something like that.
This is what happened.
Oh god, did she inherit the golden fruit?
Oh god.
No, I was making an ovum visual pun with words.
Just gonna say, this is what happens when we get Greencaster and Northcaster into a room together.
The two movie critics?
This conversation happens.
Were you there for the Guyver?
Good point.
This is what we do.
Part two, coming soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So
this episode actually manages to connect canon to episode zero because there's mention and cameo by Nishi Horikoya, the dude who dressed up like Jack V. Sparrow in episode zero.
as I like to call him, Kabuki Sparrow.
Yeah, that's pretty close. It's the dude from Big Hero 6.
Oh, God. Yokai,
Jesus.
We're doing a play. Tim, what's my
Harlan Rider.
Tim, what's my direction? You have to picture us moving our fingers weirdly.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny, Blake.
Johnny, you hate the Kamen Rider. That is your motivation.
Oh, how I hate the Kamen Rider. Oh. He stops my pirating.
Yeah.
Savvy.
And steals my rum. Savvy.
Why is the rum gone?
Because the Kamen Rider took it. Damn pirating bastards.
Let's go, Kaiju.
We'll get to that.
Damn Yokai just too. I hate them.
But let's go with what more happens in the episode.
Yeah. We get another shot of like one of, I assume, several bases of operation that the Roy Mew Generals have.
The aquarium?
Yeah, the aquarium.
Which I thought was a cool idea. Oh, base an aquarium. What? My question is, so was this, like, the actual aquarium, and they just, at night, they sneak in and, like, just set up their blankets, these multicolored blankets? Or was this all created specifically for them, and
it's
then
the old abandoned aquarium.
The old abandoned aquarium, yeah.
With the fish still in it.
Where the fish are all apparently still fed.
Yeah, no, see, that's what I mean.
The fish aren't fed, they're feeding off of each other.
That's what I was going to say.
See, I'm one of those assholes who, whenever I see a big base of operations in a movie featuring villains, like the villain's secret base, I'm like, who built that? Because that needs labor, damn it. That needs logistics and planning. Where are the Mexican laborers who made this one?
The other 50 or so Roy Mutes.
And especially since it's an aquarium, where are the feeders?
108.
I know. I was
the more important
rounding
question,
down.
The more important question is,
they've killed a handful.
Was all of the Vaseline used on set for the lens?
Holy shit, yeah.
Because how much... Holy shit. How much Vaseline did they bring with them to that
Enough to jack off an army.
And I bet that's what they did once they were done shooting, because they had so much Vaseline.
2 points about their aquarium base. Which one of these stupid motherfuckers thought an aquarium would be a good base for people that are basically robots? One stab upwards and they're fucked.
Short circuits.
And two.
It wasn't the Kamen Riders who saved us. It was shoddy workmanship.
And two, what's with all the multicolored blankets? This isn't O's.
You know,
This is not O's! You know, what is with the blankets?
It looks like a children's sleepover.
Yeah, it looked like the fucking blanket fort from Community.
I was like, it did.
They're evil Tokugers.
Actually, okay. I was gonna say something like that. I was like, wait, did they get the sets mixed up on the shooting days for Tokuger and Drive? Like, the Tokugers were supposed to go here, Drive was supposed to go there.
But not even the Shadowline villains have colors and shit.
No, no, I mean, like, originally Tokugers were gonna spend the night at the aquarium.
Oh, okay.
But, yes.
Yeah.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but were they just sitting in a glass tunnel?
Well, they have those.
Yeah, I know that, but that's where they decided to plan their shit.
Yeah.
I guess. Well, you know what it was behind the scenes, the reason they wanted to shoot in that tube? So they could get a cool shot of a stingray or a shark swimming over them.
As Brain was approaching.
Yeah, like, I mean, and I'm just thinking behind the scenes, how long did they have to wait to get that shot of, because it's a really cool shot, actually, of a stingray just swimming right over Brain. That's why he was in the tube, so they could get that shot.
He's going now! Quick!
Quickly!
But yeah, there was a mention in the episode that, when they get the note from the imposter impersonating Lupin, someone mentions, oh, Lupin, the guy you brought in? So this tells us that the Drive Guy movie has already happened at this point. Which means it fits in summer before episode 11.
I have a beef with this. Why call it Ultimate Lupin?
The joke is,
because he's the ultimate and he doesn't like being compared to the previous ones.
The chronology goes Lupin the Third, Lupin Ultimate.
Yeah.
Clearly, okay.
What is this, Helsing?
Clearly not superior to Lupin the
Third. No, you know why I think they call him Ultimate Lupin? I don't know if one spawned the other or the other way around, but you know how when Machine Chaser does execution, mm-hmm. when Lupin does it, it's Ultimato. I don't know what the correlation is, but that's where it is.
I'm still going with my whole, this is a Conan Lupin movie. Only it's not a Conan Lupin movie. I swear to God, the fucking main character of Drive is dressed exactly the same as Detective Conan. And this guy's name is fucking Lupin. Jesus Christ.
And considering also it's Japan.
That movie just came out, by the way.
I know, right? It's like they're trying to make as many Lupin Conan crossovers as possible, and they even wanted to put it in their Kamen Rider.
So yeah. let's use Kamen Rider as our medium.
Yes.
So there's actually a legit Detective Conan versus Lupin the Third movie.
No, I know. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that does sound cool.
So where does Coda fit into that?
From space.
He came back as a ghost. Like. Speaking of ghosts.
Yeah, so fucking Volt comes back, or rather...
His ghost does.
Some sort of apparition.
They brought back the actor, who I loved.
In the snazzy-ass suit.
Oh, yeah, and they brought back Japanese Rick.
Yeah.
Japanese Rick Sanchez. And I love him. I love every second of this guy.
We find out this episode that apparently he was a ghost spawned with physical body through this electrical do-fucking-hickey that Volt's been working on. And apparently his goal was to recreate the events of a novel that never got published, which meant that Tamari had to get he had to find out what was happening from Nishi Horikoya, the prisoner dude, because he was the only one who knew what was going
to
happen.
That whole thing of him trying to, like, recreate something he wrote, you said? Or
yeah.
That seems like something that would have been more appropriate and, like, double with the whole noir theme that had.
Absolutely. That's why Drive has always had echoes of Double, I think.
Yeah, I can see that too.
You mean aside from the writer being the same guy?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the commonality here. Double and Drive have the same writer.
So is this like, the writer was just like, oh god, I don't know what to do this week. Old notes. Drive. Double. Okay.
Original novel. Let's go with this plot arc.
Let's go with this one.
So, yeah.
And then he turns into the big spider.
Well, he doesn't turn into the big spider. He feeds a bunch of cars to a spider viral core.
Yeah.
And it, like, grows super big, which, like the Cobra one did a few episodes ago.
Turns into a spider with a car as the body, which was...
a giant car with spider legs.
Which is stupid.
I thought it was cool looking.
Stupid.
It was stupid, but I thought it was cool looking.
I'm sorry. Giant spiders, I just get flashbacks. Wild Wild West flashbacks!
It grabbed the Trideron and mashed it into the fucking ground.
Stupid.
It was badass.
Stupid.
Christopher Nolan's Trideron.
Yeah, type wild.
Oh, yeah, that thing. Tumblr.
I like how we got to see all three forms of the Triter on this episode. We got type speed, type wild, and type technic. And then it beat the dude's ass.
I miss Gaim.
I know, right?
Don't we all?
I miss Gaim.
That's why we're looking forward to the Baron Zangetsu movies.
Not looking forward.
Oh, I completely forgot I was going to mention some news about those movies. So, yeah. Let me cut off Drive for a minute. There's been some news about the Baron Zangetsu side movies, which are collectively being referred to as Kamen Rider Gaim Gaiden, which means side story. So, Zangetsu and Baron get new forms. Zangetsu's getting proto-melon arms, which is a recolor of melon arms, because melon, watermelon, except his horn is red, and the shield he gets, instead of the melon arm, melon defender, it's styled to look like the Suica, but it's got a fucking minigun on it. It's a shield minigun.
Proto-melon, because they decided that wasn't a good idea.
It's proto-watermelon.
Oh. And then, as the episode goes on...
Oh, I've got more news. About,
also, leaked images of Kamen Rider Eden.
Yeah. So, Zangetsu gets proto Suica. Baron gets his own apple arms. It's either taboo arms or apple arms, whichever. It's like the forbidden apple, which looks almost identical to golden apple arms. It even has the same weapon, so I'm not sure why they needed to make a difference. And then the two villain riders of these movies are Kamen Rider Eden, who is also using apple arms, and Kamen Rider Tyrant, who uses dragon fruit energy arms, just like Duke uses in the Drive Guide movie, except the shoulder is a little different, which is weird. Another actor who's going to be in that movie is apparently Takatora and Mitsuzane's father, Amaki Kureshima, who is played by none other than Sonozaki Ryube from Double.
So, yeah, the fear guy from...
The Terror Dopant
from Double.
...is playing Takatora and Michi's dad.
No.
So the big villain from Double.
Seems perfectly okay to me.
Yep.
This is going to be good movies.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be good.
Why is he there? Because it's the same guy.
Yep.
Same writer, same character.
They're just
more another branch of the fucking Sonozaki family.
I'm like, all the fucking theory crafters and fanfic writers out there are gonna go nuts.
Didn't they also do Sailor Moon live action?
The director.
Okay. Did you also notice that tuxedo mask outfit that the guy who was pretending to be Lupin was wearing?
Well, it's the motif.
Tuxedo
mask if you wore a Guy Fox mask.
Yeah. Just have noticed a few things in the Kamen Rider and these series is costume recycling sometimes.
Well, yeah. You want to talk costume recycling? The Forever Red episode of Power Rangers used Beetleborg outfits.
God.
Yeah. Moving on. So, we see more of Chase's weird human empathy side because he lets Drive go to save the humans from the hospitals because electricity.
I always like with Chase, I always saw like a bit of like Villamax or Ecliptor in him, like that sort of like bad guy.
Yeah, he's
got like the nobleness in him.
He's on the side of the bad guys. Nobility. But he has some sort of code of honor that even he doesn't even completely understand. Which is why I'm really excited to find out his backstory.
Yeah.
But we get a peek at that in just a moment. While Kiriko is trying to fight off the giant spider thing, fucking Conrad Armag shows up and out of the silhouettes shoots it away. Which is cool because we're going to get Mog's official debut next week. And then Kiriko goes ahead and snipes the fucking electric device and breaks it and saves Christmas for everyone.
Yay!
Yeah, so this is Christmas. Yay.
Hospital patients don't have to die. Hooray.
People in planes aren't going to come crashing down.
Yay. Hip, hip. But apparently the other reason they had this electric device was to breathe some electricity into another Roidmute general named Medic. I'm really curious to see what she does and what her purpose is besides healing. I guess, I don't know, medic.
Medic. Medic!
Fuck it, it's late. I'm tired.
She can recover cores that have been destroyed.
But then there's the big...
Is that it?
No, I'm just... That's my guess.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, why else is she incredibly useful to them?
Although they've shown that they can revive them because...
Only if the core survives. Yeah. They could just give them another fucking virus core and turn them into a thing, but...
That's a good guess, though.
But then, the big reveal.
So, Brain beats the shit out of Chase for letting Drive go, and then we see Chase's true form. Roid Mute number 0.
Dun dun dun!
I don't know why that's important yet, but okay.
Because it's less
because
than one.
Because now suddenly Beltsan has actually recognized him.
Yeah.
It's like or he's like, oh, so he is a Roy. One or the other. It could go either way. Really.
I swear to God, if that is Proto Drive and he like lost his memory or some crap before it became
Chase.
Yeah,
but why would he recognize him just at the moment he became a Roid Mute?
Maybe he didn't have a human form when he was Proto Drive.
I'm pretty sure most references he's made to Proto Drive at this point to him being an actual human.
I don't know.
And not, you know, the same thing they were fighting.
I don't know. We'll see. It could go any way at this moment. So that's Drive. Mach is next week, so that'll be cool. His belt... Blade and I have already seen how the belt works. It's pretty cool. Although the voice on it sounds like the voice of Peter Pan. Tie your cold gun! And the funny thing about the belt is, like, you know how Drive says all the names in English?
Yes.
The Mach belt says all of those names in Japanese. So instead of Type speed, it's Taiyakukan, hi-yai!
Wow.
The voice gets really annoying after a while.
Shinpachiko!
Yay! So, Tokuser 41. Holy shit, the shit go down.
Oh, yeah.
So, Castle Terminal has been revealed. It's actually on top of their hometown of Tsuburugahama. And they're like, oh no, why did this happen?
Wait, is it exactly what Lane predicted it would be?
Yes.
Yes.
It's exactly what Lane predicted.
I saw the episode and, like, the tree comes up and I'm like, fuck.
Pink Caster called it.
Yeah, he did.
We talked about this last week, actually. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so they're all like, whoa, what's going on? And then everyone starts fighting each other because everyone has their own goals. We all knew all this shit already. Basically, the important parts of the episode are a lot of people die.
Yeah. Who gets the axe in this one?
So, first off, the thing that they've been hinting on about Greta holding back some darker power from within Emperor's Head.
100% legit!
So, Noir manages to extract Greta from the Emperor. And yeah, she's got her own body back. And
that was smart.
And the chicken nugget's back. I don't care. And at that moment, Zed reaches his new evolution, and he's got fucking...
And fucks everybody's shit.
Yeah,
and
Jesus
I mean everybody.
Like, yeah. He almost emptied the entire villain cast.
And
the
rogue gallery is now not existent.
He's just going,
show.
You haven't even seen my final form.
That's not even his final form.
The fucking rogues gallery in the show is now non-existent.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It was...
That's it.
It was a really... Actually, I thought it was a really well-done scene when he's taking out... But, oh, fuck, I was getting confused.
Schwartz?
Yeah, not Nero. Schwartz. When he does take out Nero later, but...
No. Well, he did... Well, let's go through this one at a time. So, Noir extracts Greta, and she's like, haha, you didn't stop me. I got my daughter back. Zed responds by slashing her to fucking bits, and Noir is dead. Schwartz comes up. Haha, I may not have been able to defeat you, but I gotta shine, because I saved Greta. Zed responds by slashing him to bits. Mork and Nero show up. Oh my god, Emperor, you've reached your true form, and you're brimming with darkness. Zed's like, I don't want darkness, I wanted to shine, and fucking slashes them, but apparently doesn't finish them off, because we need someone for him to interact with.
Are you sure? I thought they were dead.
Yeah, me too.
They didn't actually die, they just got knocked back with an explosion. We didn't see them actually fade into
darkness.
Well,
we'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
They both seemed pretty dead to me.
I hope... Honestly, no one more than me hopes that Marcus Mork is dead. She's been an annoying bitch since she first appeared.
Yep.
But I like Baron Nero. I like Schwartz. I like Noir.
You like Lelouch.
Well, Schwartz was cool.
So Greta gets away. Schwartz sends her away on his train so she can be free, because I guess that's what he wanted.
Greta, you're free.
Greta, you're free!
We're doing the Aladdin.
You're free to be paired with a side of fries and a drink. Because she's a chicken nugget.
That scene
and
would have had
in the '90s a pizza.
Yeah, that scene would have had so much more emotion to it if it's like not the dumbest looking thing ever.
Yeah,
I miss the McPizza.
But don't we all? Took 20 goddamn minutes, but
it wasn't the best thing in the world. But it definitely wasn't the worst.
It was okay.
Non-Canadians won't know what the hell we're talking about. The McDonald's pizza.
McDonald's used to have pizza.
I'd like to try it one more time before I die.
I'm sure it's on eBay.
No!
How?
No!
This is my McDonald's pizza. I've had it since 1994.
One of those little fucking kids McDonald's Easy Bake Oven things.
Nice.
Not the same.
So another big highlight of the episode was, you know, the obligatory, hey, let's show off every fucking Megazord we have seen.
And not only that, but all the Megazords do the Tokuger roll call pose where they spin around.
Which was cool.
Which was funny.
I'm always a fan of seeing the Megazords all fight together, you know, why I like Pacific Rim so much.
Yeah. Well, they did that recently, too. Like, it was either before episode or the episode before that where it's like, here's all the Zords we haven't used in 10 episodes.
Woohoo!
And I will never get over the fact that the Police Rush's final attack is called Police Smash. It's a fucking gunshot!
I know. Which, like I was saying, I'm really wondering if they do end up doing Tokuger into Power Rangers, how they're going to work around that one.
It's a gun.
It's a fucking gun. It's not even a laser or a cannon.
They'll put an orange tip on it.
That'd be great. I would love it if they did that. We'll use the spirit of Akira! Speaking of Akira.
Oh, yeah. The fucking best shot ever at the start of the episode. Like, he's in his shadow form, but then you see a hologram of his human face over top of the body.
Oh, my God.
That's our thumbnail this
You'll
week.
See.
Oh, it's so great.
But he turns... He was always good, but he becomes good in the end.
Well, he was always good. It's just...
Oh, what we're forgetting, I can't remember... Did this happen before? Zed turned... Became Tokuger Orange.
Yeah, that was last week.
Oh,
he did do it again this week, where Zed became Tokyo Rokugo.
And then they promptly took it from him.
He was a badass while he fought with it, though. That was fun. I kind of wish... See, there was some announcements recently about Tokyo Ichigo Black. I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but apparently... Yeah, we did. So, I would kind of hoped that what we had read the first time about Zed being Tokyo Ichigo Black... And I was kind of hoping it would be like Tokyo minus one, minus Ichigo, whatever. That would have been great, but no, it's just light corrupted because light, dark, I don't know.
Yay!
But yeah, so Zed's got a new form and he's got an even pointier jacket with bat wings on it to go with it.
Extra pointy.
Yeah. So now that Zed's presumably alone, unless Mork and Nero survived, I'm wondering how the last few episodes are going to go down. Because now the objective is pretty much, we know where our town is, let's get it back.
Yes.
Fuck all the other shadow towns. And that's pretty much Tokuger.
It had some good moments and it had some emotion, but most of it was just, hey, look at all the Zords and shit.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the first of our...
Featured topic!
The Drive Terabikun special, a.k.a. episode 0.5.
I have so little to say about this.
I know, there's not much.
It's like, which is why I'm so glad we have so much to say about the Mega Force finale.
Yeah, so this...
Super Mega.
The Terabikun special is kind of a spiritual sequel to the episode 0, so it's good that we talked about that last week. It's pretty much they revive the monster that Protodrive fought, Roid Mute number 5, and say, hey, go have some revenge. Why not? Free cake.
Then shenanigans.
Justice and Monster are arguing because one of them rear-ended the other in this little Lego reenactment set that Kiriko's taking photos of. And they're all like, Kiriko and Biltzen can understand what the shift cars are posing about.
And all it was to me, all it looked like was like a 30-year-old man, like, playing with his toys in the basement while his mom's like, what are you doing down there, son? I'm playing with my toys, Ma. When are you gonna move out? It's not part of the plan, Ma.
This is a garage.
But it was its own thing.
Yeah. So they start arguing, and it's like, yeah, Justice and Justice Hunter and Mad Monster, they argue a lot, but they're good partners. Oh, okay.
If you say so.
I don't know why a police car and a monster are partners, but I see.
Cop, bad cop.
I suppose it makes as much sense as a taxi and a fucking Vegas limo.
It's a buddy cop movie.
No, that does make sense.
No, I know, but see, that's why I didn't complain. That one made more sense than this one did. So, Justice Hunter gets kidnapped by Number 5 and gets put in a cage and held for ransom while the Roid Mute picks up a pistol and pulls a fucking Kuga and turns it into a giant-ass arm cannon.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, don't come near me or I'll fucking blast Justice Hunter. But Justice Hunter is like, ah, it's fine, just fight, I don't care. So he fucking overpowers him, and then we see this really nice team-up Hisatz where Justice and Monster both happen at the same time. So it locks him in the little cage that Justice Hunter does, but then one of the green jaws from Mad Monster, like, clamps on top of it, and then Drive jumps on it and stomps it until
Are we ignoring the part where he went, where he did the tire change to Monster?
Oh, yeah.
And then the claws went and got his sword
the
for him?
The green claws pulled the handle sword and politely handed it to him.
Here you go.
And my response to that was, the fucking sword flies to him on its own anyways. Why was that necessary?
Because reasons and things and I don't know.
Need, but okay.
It was pretty dull, to be honest, the entire...
It was just a way to connect the series, the previous special, and the Lupin movie.
It was just a means to an end.
They talk about Lupin a lot.
The whole thing is only, what, like 13 minutes long?
Yeah. But the other one was too.
Yeah.
Because the Number 5 impersonates Ultimate Lupin like he impersonated the other dude before. And then at the end, Tamara's like, I wonder where the actual Lupin was. And then...
Movie time!
Cut to the Drive Guy movie. And then back to episode 11, I guess. I guess that means Lupin, the Drive Guy movie, happens between 10 and 11?
Yeah.
Well, I have to be in bed by 10 to 11.
I have to be in bed 2 hours ago.
I know, right?
So yeah, let's just move on to the big thing of the episode. The fucking finale of Super Megaforce.
Oh my god, this is what they hyped us all towards.
Leave the fucking space for them.
Well, we already started the feature topic before
Fair
this
point.
One.
But in the meantime, just as a little thing... This is the third fucking time.
Oh, lovely.
The third fucking time.
Edit this out, Dave.
What happened?
The professor's getting chased by Puccianas again.
God damn it.
The second time, it was freaking... what the fucking Shroom, whatever the fuck that thing was.
Shroom?
Yeah, no, yeah. Shroomish? Yeah, Shroomish. Yeah, and then he gave you fucking Johto Starter.
Oh.
This is the third time he's done this. Let's find out what he's giving me now.
Kanto Starter.
I swear...
What is it?
I don't... What the fuck?
A Machoke? The moving box.
He's getting chased around by a mover. By the fucking mover Machokes. What?
Okay.
Help a professor out!
Boys and girls, can we get back?
Yeah.
Yeah, back to the episode.
Edit this part out. So, the Super Megaforce finale starts off with... quick recap of, oh no, the final armada led by Octo Skill, because fuck it, I don't know.
All is lost. I'm so sure the Rangers won't get out of this one.
So, apparently they've already been defeated once, and Octo Skill is like, you get one more evening to despair. Tomorrow morning, we're gonna come finish her off.
And I'm just like, blow up the fucking planet now!
This is just proper procedure to villainry. Venture Brothers taught us this.
Alright, Monarch.
They're members of the Guild of Calamitous Intent.
Oh god, that thing was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
But, so, then, we see all this, like, all this wreckage of the Armada, like, taking out the city and such, and all, and then I smell cameos.
Cameo Central.
The thing they build, they've been building up for basically since Megaforce started.
Like. And, well, the thing is, from the episodes of Super Megaforce that I did see, there have been cameos all season, and this is just more of the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know for a fact that the Red Jungle Fury Ranger was in an episode. That was one I saw. I'm pretty sure the Red Mystic Force Ranger was in an episode.
Tell me Tommy's been in it.
I don't think Tommy's been in
because I think that was that's kind of a weird moment in the episode where he shows up, takes off the Green Ranger helmet, and they're like, "It's Tommy." You know his name?
Well, yeah. they know who all of them are because they've been using their powers.
There's archive footage,
but they know his identity because they flat out called him Tommy. First time they saw him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There might be some.
Look, that was.
We might be missing some context, but I don't care.
That
at
was
this point.
Blatant fan service to begin
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I'm sure if we asked someone, that's what they would say.
The entirety of it all was like this opening where they did this thing where, like, we see some Rangers from the past. They're like helping people just in civilian mode, but then we see a flash of their helmets around their head. You know, which was. Interesting, I guess. You know,
it's like, in case you don't know who these are.
Which, to be honest, if you're a kid, you're not going to get who the hell these people are.
No, I know, but this was supposed to be an episode for people like us who did grow up watching these.
Well, clearly we weren't, thought of it that much at all. Because, first of all, this, in its own context, should have been a two-parter. I know this was a two-parter, but I mean, then it should have been a three-parter overall. The first episode, make it about the Super Mega Force Rangers, you know, oh, this is a losing battle. The second episode, you have it more like, you know, introducing these other Rangers and shit. And then the third episode, like, we get some, how about some character development? That would be nice.
Are you accusing Super Mega Force of having character development?
Oh my god, what's wrong with me? The entire thing was just like, it was so just, like, here you go, is, like, awkward.
Here's all the guys we can afford to get.
It's like, the camera pans over, it's like,
no, the best thing ever was the way Tommy first appears.
Oh, yeah,
so
that fucking
there's
thing.
A fucking car that's caught on the side of a bridge, and looking at how this car is positioned, that must have been some weird accident, because it looks like it flew from underneath up onto the edge.
No, yeah, because the ass end is hanging off the bridge. And it's great because, there's no parents or older person in the car, but there is clearly a big hole in the windshield. All I'm thinking is, wow, Mama got thrown from the car, it spun and went out. Mama's face has been scraped off by the pavement. Power Rangers, everybody.
Yeah. So, who comes to this child's rescue but Tommy, leaping from fucking nowhere in the sky onto the hood of this car to balance it, reaches down. We see the flash of his White Ranger helmet.
Which, I have no idea what the hell
is. Which is strange. And then, not only that, he reaches the handle of Saba into the car.
Which was bullshit!
Reaches Saba into the car to help pull the kid out. Flashes the White Ranger helmet. And then later he shows up as the Green Ranger.
Jason David Frank might as well, as when he was handing Saba to the kid, might as well have just looked right at the camera and winked.
Yeah.
Like, that was so stupid.
You want this? That'll be $50.
Yeah. And, you know, like, you know what my favorite one, though, of them all was? Is that the very first ones they show, which was Wes and...
No, the first one they did was Carter and Dana
from Carter and Dana from Lightspeed Rescue, doing their thing, they're rescuing people. But what I loved was the predicament this gentleman was in, where, like, this giant pillar landed on him, and the way he was positioned, it was on his junk. Like, no way around it. And then, like, Dana just, like, looks...
So it implies that the pillar fell on him like that, which means it would have landed on his junk.
Yes. Which, and then, but the best part is, like, she looks him over once and says, "You're gonna be okay."
She puts, like, she has the stethoscope and she runs it over his chest a couple spots. "You're gonna be okay."
She had a fucking pillar land me. Fuck, I'm gonna be okay. I have internal bleeding at best.
But I think I got the medicine.
Gonna be okay.
And I love
she's
how
been kicked out of Lightspeed.
If you look at basically what they did, Carter really contributed nothing to that scene.
No, yeah, it was just like, here he is.
I'm gonna lift the pillar. Oh, you just got out. Okay.
Okay. You know what was even better? When Cassie and who?
TJ.
And TJ leap onto the stalled elevator. Like, how the fuck did they get in there?
Yeah.
from many floors up, rappelling down on Cage.
I just love that scene before they show up and the people are in the elevator, and for some fucking reason there's like a tray with some documents on it in the middle of the elevator, and I'm like, they need to get out. Who will save the precious documents?
Somebody think of the documents.
This is the plan that we need to defeat the aliens.
Oh, boy. So it's just blatant I can't say that word.
Fanboyism,
fan service, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it all leads up to a big speech with the worst kid actor I've seen in a long time. Like,
Look, Mommy, it's the Power Rangers.
And just like, oh, my, Mommy, will the Power Rangers save us? Will they? I'm like, that's the best take you got?
I know. And the mom's just like, I don't know.
We have to depend on the Power Rangers to save us.
I know. We're completely useless.
And then there's the big final battle. You want to talk about this one? No, not the big final battle. Sorry. The battle.
Defeating the Emperor.
Yes.
So they.
We had that scene from Gokaiger.
I'm like, they just poached all the Gokaiger footage where.
Well, that's literally all they did this entire episode. Every time they were transformed, Gokaiger footage.
Yeah,
exactly. Remember when Power Rangers evolved from just using the Japanese footage for the battles to actually getting the suits from Toei and doing their own shots? Remember when that was a thing? Because that's not a thing anymore.
Well, except for the Gokai Silver footage during the Legend War.
Well, yeah, they do it like once or twice for like a few seconds. And then Gokai Silver was nowhere except in his one little shot of just him on his own fighting things.
Yeah. But first things first. So, Gokai Red and Gokai Silver get... I'm just calling them that.
Don't you mean Mega Force Red?
No! Silver? So they get on Orion's ship, which is apparently the Free Joker, Bosco's ship from Gokaiger, because fuck it. Let's not put the really interesting character in the show.
That's what's going to bug you about this one. Just move the fuck off.
Yes, that's what bugs me.
So they fly.
Bosco was great, and they did not put him in.
So
they fly up onto Octo's Gil's ship. Once again, I don't know or care what the English name of the Emperor is. So they fight him, and they keep all the good footage in the fight where he fights them while sitting on his throne and whoops their asses, and then they combo him, and then they destroy the ship and
they destroy the consoles. Beforehand, they use the ship's cans to take out most the fleet.
Yeah,
and then the other Gokai Mega Force whatever the fucks are all like, oh no, where's where are our friends?
As the ship explodes and crashes and explodes.
Where are our friends? Oh, look, there's in space Red and Silver.
The funny thing is, it really didn't click the first time I saw it. I'm like, hey, like, you see the Red and Silver in space Rangers on their galaxy gliders coming down, and I'm like, why are we looking at Andros and Zane? What just happened to Troy and Orion? Oh, fuck.
It's them.
And then,
the reason we're here, everybody, the remainder of the army is here now. Now, keep in mind, at this point, they've won. They defeated the Emperor, his general, they destroyed the fleet. There's like a good couple hundred foot soldiers. Basically, buddies. Right? And then, like, these five guys who have done this on a near-weekly basis are like, oh, no, how will we ever defeat the thing we always defeat?
See, here's the thing. I think if we ever asked anyone, the excuse would be they used up the energy of their Super Mega Force modes, because they did establish that using the Super Mega Force mode takes a lot of energy, which is why they don't do it often.
You give me a baseball bat and a Glock, I'll do this. Put me in, coach. I'm ready.
And when your Glock runs out of bullets,
I'll use the baseball bat.
You're going to use the baseball bat. And that was what was happening here.
And I'll be Shinken Brown.
Richard Brown.
I don't need the gun.
No, but what you said made perfect sense. The Super Mega Force powers are the Glock. Powerful? It will run out. The Ghost Seizure powers are the baseball bat. Not as good, but it has no ammo.
And then the scene happens. Where we see a walk of Rangers, and they all take off their helmets, or at least the ones who are
willing.
The
ones that they can get the actors back for. But first, what needs to be mentioned is...
exactly.
TJ shows up as the Blue Space Ranger. Correct. Guess who also shows up? Tommy as the Green MMPR Ranger. Okay, that's fine. Also in this crowd the Red Turbo Ranger. Both of the guys who were the Red Turbo Ranger are already here wearing other masks, so who the fuck is that?
They got a replacement off screen.
It was Justin. Fuck it. I don't know.
Justin is now...
Guys, I'm the new Red Ranger. They pulled a bridge.
You know what would have been great? What you said, if, like, instead of, like, when we see them in civilian mode and we get, like, a flash of their mask.
Yeah.
Like, he comes up and no one recognizes him.
Yeah, like, the fully grown Blake Foster who played Justin back in when Turbo aired. And I was saying this before.
Yeah.
So, like, Blake Foster shows up and he's, like, helping a civilian. Like, this didn't actually happen. We were just talking about this and I wish it did. Blake Foster shows up and he helped a civilian. And, like, instead of flashing his helmet, they just flash an image of his face as a kid.
That would have been great.
Oh, that's who that is!
So it's Tommy comes in because he's the popular one. And, you know, I love Jason David Frank. I've met the guy. He's a really sweet guy. But good God, was he phoning it in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just, like, the guy has, like, maybe four lines this entire thing. We're going to help you defeat these very easily defeatable characters. Or peoples.
Not
whatever.
Characters.
They're right. They're putties.
They're not even people.
These are like
robots.
And then so we see all the other Power Rangers.
And then we fast forward to the Legend War footage from Gokaiger.
Which now here's the thing. In context of Gokaiger, that took place at the beginning of the series, right?
Yes.
So yeah, like it shows like where all the powers went, I guess, or whatever. Here it's just blatant, like we wanted to build up this footage of, I don't know why I'm doing Mr. Plinkett. We wanted to build up this footage of all these Power Rangers fighting as one. It lasts 20 seconds. It's
it
like
does. It was the scene from the beginning. Exactly.
No, but the best part about that footage is
it was
before
the scene
they,
from the first episode of Gokaiger.
Wasn't the scene in Gokaiger like a full like 2 or 3 minutes? Like it was showing
something
off
like
all
that.
The Rangers. This it's less than a minute.
The thing is, in the movie that tells the story of the war, it is much longer.
Yeah. Well, no. Like I get you have to cut it down, but like this was like it was built up. Like the entire like like this was built up, and then it lasts a full like 40 seconds tops, and. You know, like the entire time, all I'm thinking, once again, is this is not, I am not at all concerned. Like, I mean, I wasn't before, but even if this was like a good series up to this point, I wouldn't have been concerned at all, because you are literally fighting the low-rung characters that you always are fighting, right? Hell, we saw the SPD Rangers. That stands to reason that Doggy Krueger is there as well. Wasn't a whole thing about...
I don't think he was there. None of the extra... Okay. The only extra ranger that was there was fucking Magna Defender.
Okay. That's the one we only see. But if they're using... If they're going on the idea that this was based off that war scene, right? Then whatever. Like, Doggy Krueger's there. My point is, Doggy Krueger, he took down 100 guys on his own to, like, earn his sword or whatever the episode was. I'm sure that, like, these 40 Rangers can take on a couple hundred putties.
Yeah.
I felt no... And then it ends with, like, them saying, hey, we were proud to serve by you guys. You guys are the real Power Rangers. This is, like, the veterans saying. I'm like, what the hell was this?
No.
This was all pain.
But the thing that was funny during that scene is, before they actually start fighting, they, because, again, Glock versus baseball bat... They transform into their Gosager forms, the Mega Force outfits, while Orion, with his only option being Gokai Silver. So we've got the Gosager standing next to Gokai Silver in front of everyone, which is funny. because in the actual Legend War footage, the Gokaisers were not there. So they play the actual Legend War footage, and then they sprinkle in every couple seconds a shot of Gokai Silver fighting some enemies by himself, like Raven was saying. And then, if you pay attention, you can see the red Die Ranger in the background fighting. And I'm like, ha ha ha, they didn't cover them all up.
Yeah.
Although they did actually use those and a couple of other pre-Z-Ranger suits during the run of Super Mega Force.
Yeah, it's just...
They called them new powers.
You know, this whole thing was just what I would like. I mean, I admit fully I was never really into Super Mega Force or even Mega Force.
Correctly so.
So, yeah, but even if I was, I really feel like this is just a huge disappointment. This is like, because even outside of the fights, this was just like, in this episode, there was no wrap-ups of any characters. Like, it didn't, like, it was just like, hey, we won, guys! Well, goodbye!
And then the yellow and black ranger kissed a little.
She kissed him on the cheek. That's all we got.
Oh, and then Troy dug the sword into the sand
and marked it. Even better, though. Before that, when all the rangers leave...
Like, all the rangers like, well, we're done. It was great to fight alongside you.
We must go to our home planet now.
We have to return home to Phaedos.
My planet needs me.
They all beam out.
They use that shot from Gokaiger where they all sacrifice their powers to blow up the armada that's already been blown up.
About misusing shots.
Whoops. They actually showed them. They all beamed up. And then you watched the explosions of all the ships that aren't there anymore.
My question is, what is the context of that in this episode? Like, was there supposed to be
turning home?
Oh, it's a bright light.
We forgot about something. Not only did they do that bright light for absolutely no reason, but doing so created a shockwave that knocked all the fucking Megaforce Rangers flat in their fucking asses.
And I'm like, well, they're all dead.
Gonna take a very different turn. I'm like, what the hell?
And then they're all just lying on their backs looking up at the sky.
And Noah's...
I forgot what the blue sky looked like.
And Noah's just like, I can't feel my legs, guys. I landed on a rock. Why do I taste purple?
So, yeah, then they're all like, now what? Now we go home. Digs the fucking Gokai saber into the sand.
You know, for some random child to come and cut his head off.
Not one shot. I don't know if there was a reason for this. Not one shot of Gosei.
I was about to say that.
I'm like, did they die? I don't know. I hope so.
Do you know what this felt like? It felt rushed.
Absolutely.
Like they just like had like they realized, oh shit, we gotta end this. Like, so they only had like 3 days to shoot.
Actors are only here for a week.
Let's do it.
I remember when they were filming that.
Yeah, there was that Jason David picture.
Not even just pictures. Jason David Frank was posting vlogs of all of them hanging out in the nearby area.
Which makes me wonder.
They went and all had a fucking picnic that took a fucking 3-hour hike to get to.
Which really makes me wonder if, like, we're missing something here. Like, this was going to be what I said, like, 3 episodes long.
I don't know.
It's just, like, who knows what could have been. If I ever go to a Power Morphicon, I'd be really interested in finding that out. Like,
let's just say at this point, I hope Dino Charge is really good.
Well, the theme song sounds cool.
Yeah, the theme song kind of screams Digimon Frontier theme song to me, like the American theme song. Jungly, different, interesting. Paul's just hitting himself with his scarf.
Yep. Because that's the thing.
Because reasons.
That's pretty much how this episode made us feel.
Yeah.
Like hitting ourselves with a scarf and disappointed.
Yep.
it was basically my high school graduation.
Visual metaphor.
Yeah. On a podcast.
Audible metaphor.
Audio. But, so, the theme of this week was not much to say.
The theme of this week was things we hoped were going to be great, but probably weren't. The
theme of this week was disappointment! Disappointment!
Wow, Paul, you don't say anything for a half hour. Then you just
He stores it up.
Fucking stupid. Although I did like... Disappointment! Although I did like Chase's new form.
Chase's true form.
Yeah.
Quite correct.
Disappointment!
Next week we get Mach, the Kamen Rider with a wheel for his shoulder.
Because stupid.
Hopefully not disappointment.
His belt looks stupid, I don't care.
It's as the always. Motorcycles, Hector.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
Ashes, I'm sorry if I sound drunk. Overkill!
Oh, hi, Dave.
Overkill is here.
Oh, God, he looks like he just came out of a cloning tube.
He looks like he just came out of a coma. Wait.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
Before the episode ends, I will have something to say to Chris.
Uh-huh.
When they use the alternate powers that weren't in Power Rangers,
They
were alien forms from alien planets.
They never established that. I watched the episodes.
They said it.
They just said they were new powers.
New powers from alien worlds.
They didn't say alien powers.
I swear it.
I swear they didn't. I watched two
Because they used what? The punching guys. The fist guys. They were going to fist people with fucking metal fists.
Yeah, I know.
I did that once.
I can't remember the name, but I know what you're talking about.
It bit me.
I don't remember them.
They were going for new powers from an alien world.
Okay, shut up. Anyone listening who cares enough to go and rewatch Super Mega Force, tell us what the deal was if they explained any of that.
Do it!
Because I don't fucking care at this point, but tell us anyway.
Time will tell if Dino Charge will bring us joy or pain.
Yeah.
But hey, let's be honest, in terms of Power Rangers dinosaurs, they're two for three at this point.
Yeah. I was actually at Toys R Us
today.
I was at Toys R Us today to look at the Dino Charge like toys. So I saw a very tiny Gubble revolver and a very tiny Gubble Recolliver and even a very tiny Gokai Galleon Buster.
Aww.
I'm like, hey, you look like you lost some weight.
Well, thank you. I try.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. As always, you can subscribe to us at castranger.podbean.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us on our Facebook page or at the Ixie Studios Twitter.
And leave more comments.
Yes,
we've had a
nice amount of fans giving us some outreach, some comments.
Someone said they've been a fan for like
since episode 5.
Yeah, since episode 5. Speak up before that. Just speak up.
Yeah.
Just speak up.
Talk, people. We want your comments.
Yeah,
we want to hear what you think.
We want your constructive criticism and your destructive criticism.
And I cannot stress this enough. We really want your slash fan fiction. Just put it out there, people.
Yeah.
Ichi and Raven forever in my case.
No, we establish it. It's Black Caster and Pink Caster. That's why they're not here.
I can dream, can I?
No.
Wait. Oh yeah, I just noticed that. I just noticed that Black and Pink aren't here.
Yeah, they're off canoodling.
Oh.
Canoodling with their doodles.
Canoodling and bamboozling. What's this you're doing now, Paul?
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hey,
guys! Dude. We've been recording. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's
Hooray.
Go.
Thanks for dating the video, Dave.
Dating it? Naming
it.
Well, I'm about to
that was a joke.
Well, I'm about to
date. The date today is January 8th.
Not at all.
2019.
This comes from you from the future. We won the battle.
Now I can't upload this episode until then.
Yeah.
But to date the video even more, hope y'all have a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2015, I believe.
Yes, our next Cast Ranger episode will be next year, so this is technically the last episode of 2014.
The last episode of our first...
Is it New Year's or the second?
The second next Friday.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we record Fridays, if you hadn't figured it out by now.
I've noticed a pattern.
Well, the fans who were supposed to jump in on our recordings, like Crunchman, who bailed on us today.
I wouldn't say bailed so much
as
wasn't responding.
So late.
I wonder whose fault that is.
I don't know. His.
Yeah, mine this time.
Yeah. Thanks for the great input, though, this time, Paul.
Yeah.
Love you, Paul.
There's a partner.
You should have went without you.
But anyways.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Northcaster Cell, for joining us again.
Oh, anytime.
I'm sure we'll see you again.
In the next episode, Guyver.
Woo!
Yes,
no.
Yeah, Guyver 2!
Dark Hero time.
No, I want to do stronger next week.
Nope! Guyver 2! It's been said on the podcast, on the editor, I'm going to make even louder and special effects on it.
Fine, Guyver 2 next week.
Yeah!
Yay!
Yeah.
It's the good one.
Somehow.
It's the good one. It is the good one.
It is the good one.
All right, so subscribe to the Gamers Elite on YouTube.
Oh, fuck
Overseal Gaming, of course. You know, those are really important because we always share the stuff for Ixie Studios. So, you know, come on. Share the love.
And let us know if we ramble a touch towards the end. Put it in the comments, guys.
Also, just put a number down, and that's the length of your dick.